This is a recording post Sunday the 28th of July, when it was my first Sunday back from the land of Lao. You'll notice that there was technical difficulties on the day, i.e. Pastor Trent forgot to turn his lapel mic on, and that is why you'll notice that there's no laughing in the background from my hilarious jokes, and welcome to the land of golden tonsils, my office at Wollumbah in my house. Well, getting us to the series, I wanted this whole series recorded. This is a series called The Complete Christian or The Mature Christian, and it's a series walking through the book of Colossians. How do you find Colossians? Well, you get through the Gospels, you flick through, you have Acts, Romans 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then you have an acronym which I remember, GEPC, God's Electric Power Company, is how I remember it. Stands for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, GEPC, God's Electric Power Company, to help you remember the order of this. It's good to be connected to the GEPC, especially when electricity prices are so high. Sorry. These four little letters from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, at least two of them, Philippians and Colossians, written while he is in chains. And this letter in the ancient world, obviously when there's no Facebook, and the hard copy letter takes something like 1,900 travel kilometers to get to the hands of those in Colossae. But we have, and thankfully have, in our hands today. And so hopefully you have all found and can listen along as I read Colossians. I'm going to start by reading Colossians 1, verses 28, following through to 2:7, which was read on the day. He, we proclaim, that is Jesus, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all my energy, that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their heart may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Well, worked out how to find Colossians, how important it is to find connections. Recently, as I said, we just traveled to Laos, and on our travels there, it is important to make connecting flights and connecting connecting in our journey. As we travelled along to get to Laos. Along the way, Anne and Claire happened to have their bags misplaced, and it was a joyous reconnecting with their bags when we found it. But more important than connections while travelling is the connections we have in relationships and how important they are. And the most important connection we can have is with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in chapter 1, if you've got it there with you in the scriptures. 1:18 says, he, that is Jesus, is the head of the body. How important it is to stay connected to the head. You know how ugly it is to be disconnected from your head? You only have to think of a chook running around with its head cut off. It is important to stay connected to the head. And in verse 20 of chapter 1, it reminds us of this word reconciliation, through him to reconcile to himself. Reconciliation, reconnecting in relationship with God because of the Lord Jesus. This is the great message of the gospel, that we can find reconciliation with God and be reconnected with him. Well, let us pray, and the great privilege of being connected to him is that we can pray. I'm going to pray now and ask that this will be a useful time as you listen to this recording and as you think about the things that God has for you. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we pray and ask that this now will be a useful time as we reflect on what you have to say to us in the book of Colossians. We thank you for it. We thank you for our risen Lord Jesus that brings us into connection and relationship with you. Thank you that you have found us, and we pray that you will grow us in this series and in this word from Colossians. And this we ask in his name. Amen. Well, the focus of the day was only two verses in chapter 2. But we will get a general feel for the whole letter. Today's challenge is this. It's a challenge to maturity, to growth. And let me ask you this. Do you desire, have you planned for growth or maturity in your life? Because people can get older, but not mature. Have you noticed that? And as a Christian, we can be immature if we don't desire, if we don't plan, if we don't put ourselves in an environment where we can grow. And the letter to the Colossians, if it is anything, it is a call to maturity. Verse 28 in chapter 1, which reads, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we, that is Paul and Timothy, may present everyone mature in Christ. It is a call to maturity. And the verse 29 goes on to see of Paul's passion and a person's dedication to the maturity of others. He says, for this I toil, struggling with all my energy, that he powerfully works within me. And so today's challenge is a call and challenge to maturity and growth. And I want to put that up front. And I want you to do some work at the end of this in terms of labeling and making some plans and progress in that. But first to the backstory. You want to hear the backstory and the context of Colossians? Well, if you go to chapter 4, in the back of, in the last chapter of the letter, chapter 4, verse 12, we meet a man named Epaphras. And let me tell you about Epaphras. Epaphras had connected with Paul, and more importantly, he connected with Christ. And this probably was in Ephesus, where Paul spent 3 years there. And you can read about that in Acts, in the stories of Acts. But he connected there. He was converted. He matured. He became what Paul describes as a beloved brother, a mission partner, and a home church planter, it seems, in Colossae. 4 verse 12 reads, Epaphras, who is one of you, there it is, one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand, what? Mature and fully assured in all the will of God. There's Epaphras. Epaphras is the one they learned the gospel from, the good news from, in chapter 1, verse 7. Epaphras made it known to Paul of the love the Colossians had in the Spirit. That's 1 verse 7. Epaphras shared, he saw growth, and he brought a report to Paul in prison, and he himself may have been imprisoned with him. And so here is this letter that is sent. It's sent and brought by another man named Tychicus. 7 verse 4, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities, says Paul. And Paul hadn't visited Colossae, most probably, but he had a word in this letter for them, and it's hand-delivered here by Tychicus. Now, on the day I showed a map to give us an idea of where this letter had travelled from, if you would go to Rome, where Paul most likely was imprisoned there in Rome in Italy, well, the letter had to travel around down to Greece. And if you get to Athens and go directly east of Athens across the coast, you get to a place called Ephesus, important city in Asia Minor. And then if you go 160 kilometers east from Ephesus on the coast, which is modern-day Turkey, called Asia Minor in the day, if you go 160 kilometers east of that, you'll run into Colossae. Now, we've just done a series, Maturity in Ephesus. Brother John, Brother Zach, young Zach, and Brother David, those other brothers from our North Coast Northern Rivers Baptist Association, shared. And interestingly, if you were to span our region, the Northern Rivers region, 160 kilometres is about from the northern tip in Tweed down to the southern tip in Grafton. But here from Ephesus, 160 kilometres east, you get to Colossae. Now, Colossae wasn't a solo town. It was like a triple town in Laodicea and Hierapolis and Colossae. So in chapter 4, verse 13, we see, says, "For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those at," where? "Laodicea and in Hierapolis." Well, these twin triplet town were on very alluvial soil. It was rich volcanic soil, and it was agriculturally affluent. And Colossae, if we were to choose out that town, was famous for its purple dye. The Latin word, Colossium inus, Colossiumus, was Latin for purple wool. And obviously with rich agricultural grounds to grow your sheep and your goat, and the nearby Lycus River, which was full of chalky minerals and mineral-rich water, was good for dyeing cloth. And a famous dye from the Siloam flower was from this region, and the Siloam flower had this purple dye, the Lycus River, the chalky waters, made for good dyeing of cloth. Now, Laodicea, a nearby town, we hear in chapter 2 and also here in chapter 4, you may remember that town from the book of Revelation. It was the one that was called the lukewarm one. It's not the one you really want to be called, but the lukewarm one in the letter to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And maybe because of the lukewarm volcanic springs, or some of the springs that were lukewarm, or its ducted water. But Laodicea was a proud city, a proud town for its health, its eye salves, and its wealth. But this rich city needs to know that its riches and true riches were to be found in its connection to Christ. And Paul, no doubt, had been to Lao in Asia today, but Laodicea in Asia Minor, Turkey, on his third mission trip. Now, before AD 60, when there was a destructive earthquake and the Romans who were in rule at the time had rerouted and made Laodicea as the major city and Colossae was bypassed, sounding more and more like Austinville at the moment, agriculturally rich, alluvial soil and with a bypass. But before 60 AD, well, these cities had been quite affluent. But with the reroute, it meant that the influence of Colossae was no longer. And it was not as influential as Laodicea. Maybe a little like Laos to Thailand today. But Colossae itself was lost and rediscovered in 1836, but still today, as I understand, is not an excavated site. They have done some scratch excavations in this place and found where they think this city was, and some archaeological findings, which date us to times and to around this time. But here is this letter to a bypassed town, a little church, a home church model on the back roads in Asia Minor. The Apostle Paul's in prison in Rome, possibly there with Epaphras. And the seemingly unimportant Christians in this has-been backwaters town, but at least three letters are written to the Colossian Christians. This letter itself, Colossians, the letter to the Laodiceans, which it tells us in chapter 4:16, they are to read their one and exchange their letter to them, and Philemon, or Philemon of the New Testament, who you may know. Philemon was probably the one whose house church that they met in Colossae, and in chapter 4 of Colossians here, we're reminded of Onesimus, who was a slave who had run away and who was in need of great forgiveness from Philemon, who has become a dear brother and who Paul writes about and mentions in 4 verse 9. This is some of the most seemingly unimportant Christians, but some of the most endearing tributes and connections and comments of beloved brothers made in this letter, and which I commend to you and your study over the next couple of months. Well, there is finding Colossians, and there is the backstory and the context. What about we move on to the call to maturity, which we see in Colossians. Now, this is focusing in on chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And we start there and read through this phrase, and we'll go phrase by phrase. Therefore, there is a therefore because of what is before. And what is before is Paul's prayer, his heart. He really pours out what is you might call a mission and a vision statement. And in the verse just before, 2 verse 5, he says that he's absent, but he's with them in spirit. And so he writes this letter, rejoicing at their firmness of their faith. Therefore, next phrase, as you received. Well, the Colossians had received Christ Jesus. The Colossians had received Jesus. They'd received that message that Epaphras had brought. And it begs me to ask this question: have you received Christ? Now, I asked for a show of hands on Sunday. It's okay to raise your hands in church. But it's also okay not to, if that is not where you're up to, but you're enjoying being a part of this community. But here is a question for you and something to consider. Have you received, and when did you receive Christ Jesus? When did you receive the gift that God has for you? When did you receive the grace Jesus has for you? When did you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? If it is yes, and you have received him, I rejoice with you, and I look forward to seeing how you react and how you mature through this series. But it reminds me here, if you have received Christ Jesus, and in chapter 4, verse 7, there is a call for Archippus. Now, there's a name for a baby, isn't it? Archippus. We've had plenty of babies born in our church recently. And Archie maybe is more trendy. But Archippus is told here at the end of the letter, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. He had not only received Christ Jesus and become a beloved brother, but he's received a ministry. And I encourage you to think about the ministry which you have received from the Lord and your call to him as well. As we move on, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, that is Christ, the Messiah of the Old Testament, God's chosen one. He was the one in whom the mystery that it talks about, that is made now known to the Colossians, that is made known to us, the Messiah, the anointed one, the King. Christ Jesus. Jesus, we get the name Joshua in the Old Testament, meaning God saves. The Savior. So have you received and believed in the saving work of Jesus? Christ Jesus as Lord. Lord meaning God, and the one whom we attribute deity to. In chapter 2, 9, it tells us that deity dwells in him. He is the King that we need to repent of our self-ruling in our life and self-crowning of ourself, and to make Jesus the King of our life. Now, I've been flying and traveling a bit. There's been a few flights between here and last time I've seen and spoke to you and was with church family. It made me think of this. Jesus needs to be the pilot of your plane, as we are willing co-pilots with him, making him Lord of our life. That's what it means to make him Lord. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him. That is, continue to live in him. Or as it puts here in the version I'm reading from, the ESV, that was a version read on the day. I think it's a healthier version, as it says, walking was a daily habit in the first century. You did a whole lot of walking, right? Now, in my family, we're into counting steps at the moment. Not me, but the rest of my family all have Fitbits. And family Fitbits, and there's often talk of how many steps people have done. Well, walking and steps in the first century was a daily activity. And a walk each day reminds us here of our walk and steps with Jesus. Daily steps, and as his Spirit walks alongside us and in us. And so, remember this with me and say it with me now. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. I had a great picture, and the picture for the series really captures this idea of being built, rooted and built up in him, particularly this idea of being rooted. You know, roots in the picture that reach down to the deep and the depths where you can drink from, and this tree can drink from its living waters. And a tree that has food that fertilizes, nourishes, and causes growth, maturity, flowering, and fruit. And what is this fertilizing food and this nourishing water? Well, it's a metaphor for good practices, resources, food that feed you. The scriptures actually feed us the food that we feed on. But there may be other daily habits and practices which you do, which will be of good food for you and good resources which you use to feed your soul. And what are the clean and the living waters that you need to drink from? Well, it comes from Jesus and the life which flows from him, and allowing his spirit to flow through us, rooted and built up in him. Well, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. Well, in chapter 2, verse 5, Paul rejoices. What does he rejoice about? He rejoices about their firmness of faith. Chapter 1, he hears about their faith in Christ Jesus. And his desire is that they are established like a tree by a river that is strengthened and is able to resist dry times. You know, the loss of a job, a family crisis, whatever drought times comes to your spiritual life. You need to be established enough to be mature, to travel through these times, and mature enough to discern between truth and error, because there is what is called a Colossian heresy going around, and they needed to know and be able to discern what is true. In chapter 1, verse 23, his desire for them to be established and mature in their faith, he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, established and stable, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all the creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Well, remember it with me again. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. I've already said that Epaphras taught them, but it brings us to think about who taught you the truth about Jesus. It was Epaphras who taught the Colossians. They learned it from him. But who taught you the truth of Jesus? And who taught you how to pray? Who taught you the truth of the Trinity? Who taught you to love your spouse? Who are these people? It'd be a good thing to do to remember today and share with those people how thankful you are. And the verse goes on to talk about abounding in thanksgiving, but how thankful you are for those people. And even to take the time to text them, to call them, to tell them how thankful you are for the way that they have taught you about Jesus, the way that they have taught you in the faith. And who are you being taught by now? Well, it's by me at the moment, but who are those influences in your life? Those people that are teaching you now, wouldn't it be good to encourage them and share with them, to remind them how thankful you are for them? In Colossians 3, verse 16, it talks about who and reminds us to think about not only who is teaching us, but who are we teaching? It says, teaching each other in love, there in 3:16. And I would challenge you to think about who you are teaching as well. There's also a warning that goes with the verse that follows, chapter 7, 2 verse 8, which warns about wrong teaching or heresy. Teachings around human tradition or practices which people come up with, or around truth principles that people lay down, maybe about Christ or Christology. But it may this be a day where you remember and you consider who you were taught by and who you were teaching, just as you were taught. Well, say it with me again. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thankfulness. As I mentioned, it's a great point to overflow with our thankfulness. Overflow and share with those people who you are thankful for, overflowing and spilling over your thanks to God and your thanks to God for whom he has put in your life. While we were away in Laos, we visited some twin waterfalls I showed there on the picture, Tadfang in Laos. We went for a day on an adventure with the McKirkins, and what a joyous day it was. But these two waterfalls which jetted out of the side of a mountain, they were twin waterfalls together, and dropped, hundreds of meters to the bore. Overflowing they were, reminds me of this idea of abounding in thankfulness. We're to be overflowing in our thankfulness to God. Take the opportunity to overflow in your thankfulness. But I move from the call to maturity to a call to ABCH and a call to you. And I put this challenge to us. ABCH, if you didn't know, if you're new, or if you've been missing in January, has a theme for the year. It's a maturity theme that covers and is an umbrella for our whole year. I've planned our preaching program around that, our church life and our training events. And it is something that has been a focus for our year. And ABCH leadership has been challenged, and it is our challenge now to think about where do we need to grow and mature as a church. Now, my prayer is that whatever age, whatever stage you're at, that you will be growing, that you will be maturing. And my role at ABCH is to facilitate, promote, spur growth and maturity and pray towards that. And I really pray that you will grow, that you will mature. That is one of my prayers for you. I'd love to hear and receive emails, texts from how you want to grow, how you want to mature. And I would encourage you to tell someone that today and share with someone that today as I give you challenge of that in a moment. But in the fourth thing we see here, a call is from Paul in his prayer, because Paul really prays that they grow in the knowledge of God, 1 Corinthians verse 9. And the knowledge of God, and we'll be studying more and thinking more of this, is a really practical thing if you take it to heart. Because there can be real spiritual growth and there can be real growth in your life and living a life worthy of the Lord. That is a repeated phrase in Philippians. It's interesting that these two letters, or even parallel letters, you might seem in Philippians and Colossians. Maybe read them together at the same time. But here's my challenge to ABCH, to maturity. It's the ABC application for ABCHs. Yeah, you with me? A stands for acts of service. B stands for belief. And C stands for character. This is the ABC application of maturity. And as an ABCHer, I would love you to share with me where you want to mature, if it's one of these areas, A, B, or C, or maybe it's all three of them. But I challenge you to choose at least one. A being acts of service. This is how you might mature in a ministry. It may be a ministry you're already involved in, something you already serve in, or something you desire to serve in. Now, for me, I want to grow and mature in my preaching and ability to communicate the Word of God, and also want to grow in the area of my understanding of the Baptist identity. And so through Moreland College, I'm doing a little course called Baptist Distinctives. And I want to hear from you, but I want you to label if this is you. If you want to mature in this area of acts of service, mature in a ministry, to write down what that would be, to set a goal, put something pen to paper, put a memo in your electronic calendar, whatever it is. But how might you grow in your acts of service? Which area is it? A, acts of service, or B, in your beliefs? Maybe it's a teaching, a doctrine, a truth that you want to grow and mature in, that you can identify with at this time. Maybe it's the understanding of the ends of time, ecclesiology. Maybe it's your apologetics, your ability to be able to give an answer for your faith. Maybe it's something, a current topic like gender. What does the scriptures say about gender identity? And what is God's word upon this? Maybe it's an environmental issue. Is God green? Maybe it's a study or understanding your beliefs about the church, ecclesiology. Maybe it's Christology, your understanding of Christ, the different aspects of the life and work of Christ. But which area would it be? Acts of service, B for beliefs, or C for character? Now, when I talk about character and mature in character and growth in character, I'm talking about character of God. Maybe it's patience, maybe it's joy, maybe it's love. But again, you'll need to label it for yourself. Identify what it is, what the Spirit is putting upon your heart. Or is it a character in yourself, as in you want to be a more prayerful type of character? You want to be a more loving type of character? With great joy, I share with you upon getting home, I happen to be in the shower, and I shared with my wife that, oh, by the way, she wasn't in the shower with me at the time. She was outside the shower. And I shared with my wife that had she noticed Carrington, our daughter's prayer life, since we've got back from Laos, I had the joy of taking her with me. And I can see, and it's a joy to my heart, to see the maturity even in her prayers and the vocabulary and the way she prays right now. It brings great joy to my heart. But friends, where would you like to grow, brothers and sisters, ABCHs, where would you like to mature? Is it an A? Are you an A type of ABC-er, H-er? Are you a B type? Are you a C type? If you're an A, I'd encourage you, who is ahead of you in that ministry? If it's acts of service, who are you going to learn this from? Who can help teach you? Who can help guide you? Who can help mentor you as you desire to grow and mature in this? Find them today. Share with them today. Be accountable with them today. If you're a B type of person, where are you going to go to in the scriptures? I'm happy to help and direct you to places if you want to grow in a belief, in a teaching, and if you want to mature in that. I can help you in materials and resources which may be of service to you. If you're a C type of ABCHer and you want to grow in character and you identify with that one, who is ahead of you on the journey? Like when you think about who is the most prayerful, who is the most patient, who is the most loving person you know? Where are they and who are those that you could share with them? Who is those who could be accountable? Are you an A, B, or C action person? Identify today. You may be all three. I'd love to hear from you what you are. But I pray and I'll ask now that the Spirit may work in you and the Spirit may move in you to grow you and mature you in these areas. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we ask that you, with the things that we have identified, the things we want to mature in, that you will grow in us and do a work in us and bring it to completion. That your Spirit may move in us, may prompt us, and Lord, may any distraction or diversion from growing or maturing in you and in these areas which we have identified now, may you remove any distraction. May you bind anything that will stop us from doing it, and that may you grow and mature us. We ask and pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. See you in church next. God bless.